And thanks to our outreach ministries led by Barb. We've been walking a path. Judy reminded us of that. This path has been a month, weeks of a hopeful season. Advent is a hopeful season. And we have four candles. The fifth, the Christ candle, will light on Christmas Eve. I hope you join us. It's going to be a time of joy and a time of celebration. Did you recognize the Luke passage? It's the New Testament. It's a passage of waiting. It's a passage of mystery. I don't propose to explain it, but it's a passage of joy. I want to tie it to another one that you might be familiar with. It's a chapter one ahead. After Mary and her waiting and her humbleness and a prophecy, it happens. And in Luke 2:8, I'd like to read that. It's simply entitled, The Shepherds and the Angels. And so at one end, you have Mary in anticipation. And at the other, you have those who first learned. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be your sign." So, the sermon title today is God Came Home. On the back of your bulletins, there's some sermon notes, and there's just three questions. I have questions, don't you, about all this stuff? I don't understand all this stuff. So we're going to take on these verses, the two in Luke and the one in Psalms, if you bear with me, by looking up, by looking in, and then by looking out among us. There is this common wisdom. You might have heard it. You might even believe it. It was encouraged by one of our great American authors. For those of you that read, you might recognize the author's words. The author wrote, "You can never go home again." I think it's actually a title. You can never go home again. This book is part independence, it's part broken relationship, and it's part existential dogma. You know the existentialists? I don't always understand them, but basically they believe in nothing. So the thinking goes like this. Since there is no true home here in this lost world, we're just hopeless wanderers. Kind of like Mary and Joseph, caught in the circumstance of the day, kind of like the shepherds, caught in a lifetime of drudgery. You see, there is no place of refuge or redemption. There's really no place we can turn home in this thought. No one can bring us back to the familiar, the hopeful, the good. So what to do now? Walking through life lost, trying to invent our own insights. What to do when faith becomes so shallow that we only trust ourselves and we fail to look up to a God of redeeming love? Well, as always, there are more hopeful visions. And this is a time of hope. So let me give you another reference to home. My mom and dad used to say it. Maybe you've heard it before. They used to tell me, home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. This vision of home is more hopeful. The belief is we carry memories that are sacred, and we remember a joy wherever we may wander. And where our heart is, so is God's heart, at home with us. That's a little more hopeful, isn't it? That's the message of this fourth Sunday of Advent. Emmanuel, translated literally God with us. Emmanuel is the anticipated light of the world. Mary anticipated it in the verse that was read by Sharon. And the shepherds stumbled on it in a verse out of Luke 2. You see, this light of the world was anticipated in the Old Testament. Prophecies about Christmas came for 1,000 years. And then suddenly, or not so suddenly, there was silence. There were no more prophecies. God couldn't be heard. For 400 years, silence. Then Advent and the coming of Jesus. Jesus came and he told us, we have a home. We have communities of love and faithfulness. Remember that part? He said, I came to announce to you a place of heaven. And it's right where you live. It's home. Wait a minute. Let's switch gears for just a minute. Let's imagine that your maker walked up to the front door, your front door, knocked, humbly asked to come in for dinner and a cup of kindness. Would we unbolt the door to this stranger? Or would we lock and load, expecting perhaps a home invasion? It happens, you know. That's the choice that Mary and Joseph had to make in the New Testament. They had to choose at the very, very beginning of the New Testament what to do with this mysterious child, this child born in poverty in a strange town. Remember, Mary and Joseph weren't even home. They'd gone to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. They had a child born without a roof over their heads. Did they turn their backs? No. Did Mary waver? No. They embraced this child of light and they took him home again. Now let's go to the Old Testament. What do we make of this verse Sharon read us? It's a prophecy, isn't it? It's a prophecy in Psalms, and it's also a worship of a coming presence. Let's read it one more time. Psalms 89, 1 and 2. There's no doubt here that something new and magnificent is coming. It's a prayer singing the mercies of the Lord. It says, I will sing of the great Lord's love forever. That's the text. It's a promise that faithfulness will break through doubt. It's a covenant, an agreement, that our voices will make known across generations. It's a call to a larger church, a community. You are that community. That's the good news here. It's a call to a home in a dark world. Let's think about Luke 2, the verse that I read. There's two stories here. There's Mary waiting and anticipating. And then there's this announcement, a second announcement. If you will, the prophecies just start coming. And the prophecy is, in Luke 2, 8 through 11, in every Christmas sermon I can remember. But perhaps I missed the sermon. I know Mary. You know Mary. Faithful Mary. Humble Mary. But I missed this part. It's a different story. The homeless were the first ones to hear the good news. Mary, a teenager, hears it first. Then the homeless in Luke 2. The homeless. Of all the important people, all of the rich and famous people, all of the wise people in the Middle East, who hears the announcement first? They were people living without homes. They were shepherds. They alone stood out as the nobodies. The most humble, even more humble than Mary. They were the unwashed ones. They wandered their whole lives. You know what shepherds do? They tend somebody else's flock. They don't own anything. They're shunned by civilized people, forced to live far from the city, far from rich merchants, far from the privileged temple priests. In short, the shepherds were unwashed, uneducated, and unwanted. And they were told to encounter an unwanted baby. Yes, if you can believe that you never go home again, shepherds would be the ones that live out that life. They couldn't go home again until they were invited home to see Mary. We could learn from shepherds. We could learn from Mary. The heading in my scripture says for Luke 2, simply, while shepherds watched. Let me read it to you again in Aramaic. That's Jesus' language. Now there were shepherds in that region where Mary and Joseph stayed, and they were watching their flocks at night. And behold, the angel of God came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone on them. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy for all the world." That's the part I missed. Mary, a teenager, and shepherds, the homeless ones, first learned of a home for all the world. Let's close. Let's close with the hopeful message of Mary and the shepherds, and lose the hopelessness that sometimes we feel in this busy world. What do you make of it? Have you ever thought of the poor, the lost, the homeless, The humble ones, like Mary and the shepherds, who first witnessed the light of this world. How about you? I'm sometimes uncomfortable with people who aren't like me. I'm sometimes uncomfortable with people who don't dress like I do. I'm sometimes uncomfortable with people that walk up to me and say strange things. But maybe if I make eye contact, maybe if I listen to them, maybe they would share something that I need to know. Because, you know, other people might see more clearly the light of the world than I do. Maybe this new home that was announced to Mary and the shepherds is a place I need to live in. Maybe I need to be a little more faithful and a little more humble so I can appreciate what homeless shepherds and a lost teenage woman announced. Maybe that's what we could witness this Advent. Do we have eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear? Do we listen with our hearts? Let it be so as we wait for Christmas. Amen.